Hi, and welcome to episode 80 of the Studio Insider Art Podcast. In today's episode, Steph and I are continuing our deep dive into the steps to launching a collection with a conversation around gathering information for listings. We chat through some of the best ways we've found to keep important records for our art and different workarounds for how you can make your spreadsheets talk to your website. We also talk through some of the pain points that each of us have had with this aspect of our art business and what has worked for us. If tech is not your favourite thing, then you'll be glad to hear that it's not for us either, but we have found some ways that make this road a little easier for you to navigate. So we really hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, this is Susan Nethercutt and welcome to the Studio Insider Art Podcast. In these episodes, I throw open the doors to my art studio practice and how I run my business as a professional artist. Whether it be candid insider chats with my studio assistants Laura and Steph, or interviews with other creatives, or answering listener questions, there is something here for every emerging artist. I hope my journey can help you feel a bit more at home in your own. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Suze.
How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good.
So today we're diving back into our little series on selling a collection. And so what have we worked through? We've worked through like the whole pre-getting ready to sell jitters scenario. Mm-hmm. We've talked about lifestyle photography. Mm-hmm. We've talked about product photography. Mm-hmm. So I think we might be up to the bit where we actually have to like list our products somewhere and put them somewhere to sell in the world. So obviously okay. For me, that would be on my website.
Yes.
For someone that doesn't have a website, it might be somewhere like Etsy or in a Square shop
or Blue Thumb
or Art Lovers Australia, or I'm sure there's other platforms on other parts of the world. But you do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
You sell to retailers, but I assume you have to get that information and photography to them somehow.
Yeah, I do. But first I want to hear all about your, I'm sure, very complex methodology.
Isn't it all?
Can we talk about that?
So, oh, God, you're going to regret asking me.
No. Because, well, that'll just help give me time to get my thoughts in order, Suze, if you talk first. But also I know that, I mean, because you sell on a website, you really think this through for each product. So,
well, I do. And I also am a fairly prolific painter. So I tend to have like kind of decent large series of paintings that I sell or collections. So, yeah, it is a little bit of an arduous task, which is – so the photography actually takes quite a long time for me. And so I'm so glad that I've outsourced that now. But if you're doing it yourself, I think it's really important to expect that that can take up to a couple of weeks to have all those photos taken and edited, and people shouldn't underestimate the time involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next step that I go into is – and this sort of happens actually – for me, it happened earlier this time because I had someone external editing my photos for me. I had to create a list of what I had. So at some point, you have to take that big collection of paintings that's been amassing in the studio. If you're anything like me, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They all need some kind of a title that's mm-hmm. unique, and you're going to have to list that information somewhere, whether it be if you're sending it to a retailer as you do, you still need all of this information. So what I do, what I've done this time around, and I'm extremely proud of myself because I'm not only bad at photography, I'm also really bad at spreadsheets.
A relatable problem there.
I reckon there's a lot of artists out there going, I know. But I'm really proud of myself because we've been using Google Sheets lately, haven't we? We've been both a bit proud of ourselves for getting organized. And so I made a Google Sheet with a little photo of the image.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have a title. So I have like a thumbnail photo of the painting. I have a title. I have a size. There's a pause happening here because I'm turning around to look at my computer each time. A substrate too. So like if it's a stretch canvas or if it's on paper, because I tend to paint on a lot of different surfaces, or if it's a painting that has a pre-made frame too, so a framed canvas. Then I have a price, and I actually do this in a couple of steps. Like I have a price per inch price that I just whack in there based on the measurements, but then I have an actual price. So, and that's because different paintings, I have different rates for different paintings depending on, you know, a variety of factors such as the amount of time I spent on it. But I find it helpful to just have a starting point. So I have a price per inch starting point that kind of gives me a guideline. And then I have an uploaded to shop one, which is getting filled in as I upload items to the shop.
Right, so you can keep track of where you're at in this process.
Yes, it's partly for that because I've learnt the hard way to never try and upload all of your products in one sitting because I always make mistakes.
Same here.
Let's talk about that for a minute because I'm guessing that's probably a pain point for a few artists out there.
Yes, yes. So when I had my other business of making the teeny tiny furniture, I had a couple of shops. They were listed in various different places. So I spent a lot of time creating listings and made a lot of mistakes.
listings are like... I don't know. There is something about that back end of listing products, and actually Squarespace have changed the way they do that recently, and it's no longer like in tiny little boxes. It's actually like in kind of a long form format, and it is so much better for my brain. So I'm really grateful for that. But it is seriously easy to make mistakes, particularly with items like prints that come in a variety of different sizes as well.
Yeah, and I'm kind always, of similar but not the same.
I'm always writing in them. I'm pretty sure I'm dyslexic with numbers too. This is the Susan Nethercutt podcast on all of my neurodiversity after all. But they're all good things to know about yourself, right? Yeah. So that you can have workarounds for them. So my workaround for making less mistakes in the listings is to just not try and do them all at once. So I'm doing them in sort of small batches. So, and the way that I do it is I generally will upload one item and I try and make that like double, triple, quadruple check that all the information in that is accurate. And then I duplicate it, and then all you're changing is the title. And, you know, there's nothing worse than when you've done 12 of those and realize they're all wrong.
Right? I was going to say that used to happen to me. I duplicate, and that's where I made mistakes.
Is everyone out there nodding?
Because you forget to change a bit
or one spelling mistake or one number in the measurement. Yeah. And then you've got to go back and do 12 of them. So So what I've done this time is like – yesterday after school when I was sitting in the car waiting for my children at Taekwondo, I just uploaded the ones that were the A3 size, just that batch.
Okay.
And I really paid special attention to making sure all the elements were correct. And that's where the spreadsheet came in actually, because I was able to actually double check everything in there and copy and paste that in, which is kind of a game changer for me. And that helped. And I haven't gone back and reviewed them to see that they're all correct yet, I'm hoping.
Now, I'm about to blow your mind or freak you out, depending on whether you're how tech savvy you feel. But you can auto-import.
You just were telling me this and showing this before, and you're going to have to share with everyone out there what you're doing because blown my mind, and you're just about to blow everyone else's.
No, well, this is with your listings. So if you have to make sure that your spreadsheet is formatted in a certain way, so your columns fit what it needs. But depending on your web shop, you can export your spreadsheet as a CSV file and automatically import that into your web store, and it will automatically upload all of that information. So it'll be prices, whatever the fields are. It will automatically import all that. Now, you'll still have to go through and individually, like, do the storytelling elements in your listings. But when I had my miniatures business, I had the two different stores. So I would put it all into one, export that as a CSV, and then it would automatically upload it into my WordPress store.
Wow, that was not the bit I was expecting you to tell me about. But I mean, I'm instantly going to the zone of, well, that's never going to happen for me.
Yes. So there are very good tutorials.
Did it work? Because you're telling me it did work.
Yeah.
So was the only times you ever stuffed it up when you manually put it in there?
Yeah. 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 Right. When I did the duplicator, like when I manually put it in. I mean, yeah, it's a whole other tech thing. So like I say, either blow your mind or like freak you out.
But, you know, having said that, for someone like me, for example, there would be people out there in VA universe who would know how to do that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are very good YouTube tutorials that walk you exactly through it. And it like I say, it's specific to your platform. So, yeah. Anyway,
wow, bit of a hack. That wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting you to tell me about the other Google Sheet thing.
Yeah, so I have recently started cataloguing my work. Now, this is like a bit of a breakthrough to me, but before this, I would send artwork to stores and just try and remember who had what and what I need. And at invoice time, I have to look back at my old invoices and be like, hey, I think it's definitely this one. Anyway, so another business reincarnation of mine was owning an art gallery, and my business partner was a business analyst in her day job, which means she's a spreadsheet queen, right? Mm-hmm. So I spoke to her and I said, please help. How can I intuitively keep track of all of this? I need a system and a process, and that's my kryptonite, systems mm-hmm. and processes. And in like 5 minutes, she'd email me this magical little thing. So within the Google Suite, you have Google Sheets, and one of them is Google Forms, and you can create very quickly and easily a little form for yourself that shows up on your phone. I emailed it to me, and I fill out the fields, and it automatically turns it into a spreadsheet.
See, or updates this is spreadsheet. Actually what I want to do for my next collection. So can you put a little video or something into the show notes to show people how to build this? Yeah. Because I think that so many artists out there probably need something like that. Because the thing is, I was doing an image in my spreadsheet for this one, but I had to like take the photos on my phone, then I had to download them to my computer, and then I had to place them into the file. I was actually really proud of myself that I figured out how to do it.
I'm proud of you.
That's pretty amazing for me and spreadsheets. But the bit where you can just do that on your phone and it puts it in a spreadsheet, so that when you're taking photos and measuring paintings and putting that data into some kind of document, it's actually a really physical job. Mm-hmm. And then you have to sit down at your computer and write it down.
Yeah.
So I really like the idea of being able to just do it on your phone. And my computer is not
in my studio. It's in my home. Like it's a whole other removed space. Yes. So my workflow – particularly because I'm working with stores, is as follows. I take the professional photographs, I edit them, and then I store them in a Dropbox folder that I have access to, and so does the contact at the store. So it'll be store specific. I title them in that folder, so I'll have the title and it'll be underneath the image, so I can keep track in my mind of what's what. And then I open the form in another window on my phone. I put that image directly from Dropbox into the form, fill out the fields. Like I have, data like, which shop is it going to? Have they paid? Have I invoiced them? How much is it? What percentage are they taking? So I fill all this out on the go. And then it automatically puts it into my spreadsheet. So the thumbnail, all that information. And then at a later date, when it comes to invoicing.
It's all there.
It's all there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I feel like a flipping genius. But I'm sure if you are a systems and processes person, this is like so obvious.
Yeah, but how many of them listening to this podcast?
Let us know.
I love that, because this is the thing that can make all the difference, isn't it? Like you don't have to be a tech genius, but if you can master a couple of processes, you know, relating to these systems and organization, it can make such a big difference.
Yeah, can't it? And like, I mean, I love the little trick of Dropbox where I put those photos in. This like blew my mind. And then, you know, a retailer can grab those whenever she needs them.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to email her these large files, or I don't have to make sure she's got all those images as she needs them. I send her the link and each time just to remind her, and she just grabs them out of there and can use them however she needs to.
And we should also mention in relation to the way that you sell through retailers, because the last couple of – we've done a couple of sessions on photography in this series, and one of the benefits of selling to retailers is they take really good photos for you.
Yeah. They're like – and they're like such amazing skilled stylists. Yeah. And they have all these beautiful things in their store. Like they just create these incredible vignettes and then photograph them. And I'm like, wow, I couldn't do that. Like, that's not my skill set. Like,
I am loving how the photos in your new studio space are coming up,
though. Thanks. But just be prepared that they're going to look exactly the same for 6 months, just with a different photo,
with a different painting. That's okay. Because that's a big part of it, is just like paying a little bit of attention to your environment, so that the photos that you take do look good. Yeah. Hey guys, are you loving what you're hearing on the podcast and craving a bit more from my studio? Then consider checking out my e-course trilogy, Painting as a Practice, playful classes in mixed media painting designed to nurture your authentic style. If you're a beginner painter or seeking some fresh new approaches in your art, then check out Chapter 1, Laying Solid Foundations. Or if you'd like to learn more about my ways with colour and mixed media art supplies, then Chapter 2 is a great option. And if you're seeking to really hone your creative style or learn how to create a series of larger works on canvas, then Chapter 3 is a brilliant option. Each chapter is just $77 each, or you can pick up the discounted bundle of all three courses for just $219. To learn more, be sure to head on over to the link in the show notes or susannethercuttstudio.com/online-classes. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, so that's my workflow. And then I don't list them generally. However, I have encountered something lately. I've had a few people either reach out, like say in person, or reach out through Instagram that they would like to shop with me. They would like to buy some art. And I'm not making it easy for them.
You're not.
So... I mean, luckily it has panned out, those things, but it's flagged to me that I do need to reactivate my store and have stuff, something in there. So I've been thinking around how to streamline that.
Yeah, because let's backpedal this a bit, because I think we need to unpack this a little bit, because it could be that the thing that's held you back from doing this may actually be something that's holding other artists out there back from doing this, which is that you hate listing and doing computer work to the extent that you don't want to have an online store.
It's really boring. But more than that, it takes time away from the things that drive my business forward. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, the outward stuff. It's too internal or like navel gazing or something. I don't know. That's how it feels.
Yeah. But what I'm asking is, like, you're obviously asking yourself the question around – maybe I should be considering doing this so that I have, you know, a couple more streams of income covered in my business.
Yeah, and I think it's happening because I'm growing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden it's a problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, my response when sometimes someone contacts me is I send them photos of what I have in the studio or direct them to where I have work in store. But that's not... if I see further growth, that's not sustainable. And also, why am I making it so hard for my customers? I shouldn't be making them do the work.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wants to buy something from me, they should just be able to like do it whenever without having to like reach out to me. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you get your system that you used to use for your WordPress website work on Squarespace?
Yes.
So that would make your life a lot easier. You've done all of the work already.
Yeah, because now I'm a genius.
Awesome.
Systems and processes. Yeah, no, right. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that, Suze. Thanks.
Yeah. Sometimes we just have these conversations to connect those dots.
But another, I'm easing myself into it though. So I have an Instagram sale coming up and I had one recently. This was a really good way for me to sell work that I'm not as attached to, or that were sketches or studies
or that were part of a learning or development process. Mm-hmm. So I have a large chunk of my followers on Instagram are other artists. And I don't know about you, but I love to grab a bargain from another artist, mm-hmm. artist to artist. And I'll often, like when someone has an Instagram studio sale, I'll often grab pieces. So I thought it would be a good way a few months ago, I thought it'd be a good way to move some of this work that I just didn't have room for and wasn't attached to, or felt that for one reason or another, it wasn't up to scratch to send to a retailer. I mean, that's all in my head really, but whatever. So I had an Instagram sale and it went very well. That all the paintings sold out. I think there were 14 or 15 paintings and they sold in the day. But then it was a real pain in the backside to keep track of who wanted what, invoicing them, keeping track of whether they paid or not.
That's way more work. Yeah.
Way more work. And then like chasing them up for postal addresses and trying to get the right things to the right people and not make a mistake mm-hmm. and accidentally send something to Texas or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this time I'm still having an Instagram sale. I'm going to take the photos on my phone and put them straight into my stories. However, because I have the swipe up function on my Instagram, that will take them to a very simple listing where they can check out and select their shipping and give me all their information all in one shot.
Great.
So it's going to be super streamlined. It's not going to be, you know, have multiple images and all this, you know, a little storied description. So I'm going to experiment with that.
Cool. We'll have to catch up with you and you'll have to let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Because an Instagram sale is a really good way to shift some items quickly or at discount.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you ever done that before? Like,
I do from time to time do say like a studio clearance type sale
yeah.
and I do promote it through Instagram, but generally they're all items that are already listed uh-huh. on the website. So all I really have to do is just move them into a sales section
mm-hmm.
And adjust the price. So the work's kind of already done.
And that's the thing is I don't want to do extra work for the discounted price, you know?
Like I guess the other side of it is also like you don't want the only opportunity for people to be able to buy from you online be when it's discounted. Like you're kind of training your clientele to only buy, like you're not even going to bother to turn up unless you're just selling something really cheap, which maybe isn't the best business.
No, it's totally not. It's totally not.
But I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the way that I do sales that way is doesn't feel like I really have, apart from going in and just changing, like, you know, the spot where it is and the price, there's nothing else really to change.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's kind of like you do all of that work in the original listing and then, yeah, so.
I think I'm just going to number the pieces as well rather than title, because I don't know about you, but to me, titles are precious.
Like, oh yeah, right.
I have so many paintings that I've created and each one has a unique title, and that's important to me, but also I think in a retail setting that works quite well. But coming up with good titles is really hard. I have a little like note in my phone where when I have an idea, I'll just take note and then go through at the right time and take what feels right for each painting.
Well, I don't often, like I work in series, so often it's uh-huh. like there's a one title and then it's number one, number two, number three, number four. So I'm effectively doing the same thing but only using up one of my titles.
I don't know how I feel about this, because I don't know, I feel like something about a story of a title that, I guess I really love stories, like, you know, like I love, you're an academic and you're great at writing theses, but I would rather write a short story. Do you know what I mean? And like, I don't know, I just feel like something about the name of a song, for example, rather than just like calling it the album name and then numbering each song. Like there's something unique about each one that I really enjoy, but
because you don't want to give away all the good
ones. No, I don't. So I think for my Insta sale, it'll be like, this is painting number 13.
Fair enough.
And here's its listing.
Well, I think you've really thought through the process in terms of like how much energy you're expending on this too, which is really smart.
Because I've got a lot of work in it. There's like 30 works. I don't know. See how it goes. Anyway, bit of a tangent there. But yeah, so the listing process, they're like getting it out into the world
so you've got to somehow find a way to compile the information that makes sense for you, but is also accessible, because that's why spreadsheets are kind of the obvious thing, aren't they? Because a lot of that information also can be cut and paste from other spreadsheets too, such as dimensions and, you know, like listing things in inches and centimeters and all that kind of data. But you need to make a decision and have some kind of system in place for storing that information. I mean, I've done it in various different ways over the years as I've tried to figure out the way that makes sense for me. But yeah, the Google Sheet seems to be working pretty well at this stage.
Hey, I guess this is why prints is a good option in terms of, like, you only have to make the listing once.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But when you're selling one-off items, it is very time-consuming and demanding to have to come up with something original each time.
It is.
Mm.
So Printser, that's one of the appealing parts, is you make the listing once and it's depending on if it's limited edition or not, you're going to be just selling from the one listing.
What do you put in your description?
Okay, so, well, generally because I paint in a series, there's sort of an overarching theme and story to each of the collections. So while that's not inherent in a title for me, it's actually inherent in the series. So I write a little bit about that, and I'll often write a little bit about where it was painted or if it was a particular time of year. Like if I've out on the veranda painting, often I've been making a lot of Instagram posts about being out there because it's so beautiful. So I'll talk about that in the listing because I want to evoke that memory for people that have been on that journey. I'll also talk about the mediums that I've used. So usually it's mixed media for me. So I want to elevate and talk about the high quality nature of the products that I use to make my artwork, and give them a sense for the complexity and the different layers that are involved, because it's not always obvious.
Yeah. And is this unique to every listing, or is there a general, is there like, say, a paragraph that is repeated across? Oh, I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm getting ahead of you.
So I write that, and that actually is in every listing.
Right. Okay.
And then I have elements that change, like I'll change the title, for example. So if you went and read each of them, they would pretty much read the same except for the title.
Okay.
I also put things in the description such as that the mock-up is not exactly to scale because it's important to cover those bases. I will state whether or not it is or is not framed. I'll also let people know if it's a really large painting, for example, that if they're buying it overseas, it's going to be shipped to them rolled in a tube
and not important.
On the stretcher bars. So anything that's important, such as that kind of information, I'll put in the listing. So I usually spend a fair bit of time when I'm constructing that listing description the first time around to really get it right, because then I'm effectively going to copy and paste. Well, I'm just going to duplicate it and change the details in the photos of each one. But what I do is I tend to upload in groups. So I'll do all of my A3 on paper, all of my A2 on paper, so that when I'm duplicating, I'm not having to change all the dimensions and think that kind of data every time. That's the really time-consuming stuff. Right. But if you've got it already in another document, such as a spreadsheet, you can just cut and paste it, which is easier. So I do spend a bit of time with that description. I do try and evoke a bit of atmosphere and memory with it as well.
Okay, right. Think about keywords and all that kind of stuff.
I wish my brain worked on SEO, but no. Because do you think people are shopping for art via keywords?
I don't know.
Yeah, who
I don't
knows?
Know. I think they are when they're on specific platforms. So let's say...
Do you do that? Well, you don't list much products, so...
Do you know, though, I do... Am I the only one that does this? Please tell me, but I often shop through Google Images.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Because I'll put in a keyword and I'm like, I want... Like, at the moment, I'm looking for a retro shag rug, right?
Right.
Super specific, yeah.
All the dodgy images of the 70s are flashing.
I know, and I love it. like all over it. I love it. I love it. Anyway.
You weren't born in the 70s, were you?
I'm right at the tail end, just 79 baby here. But yeah, often things like other platforms like Etsy, their images yes. will product images will pop up in there. So
and I guess Pinterest does it as well. I yeah, mean, that really should be yeah. something I'm thinking about. But do you do it?
I used to when product? I had Etsy. Yeah, okay. I would add tags because if you're on a platform that has loads and loads and loads of something, it has inbuilt mechanisms to help you find exactly what you're looking for.
Yes,
but my impression is that people aren't just like stumbling across you on Google. They're building a relationship with you in other ways and yes. then coming to your store directly yes. to look at your art.
I agree, which is one of the reasons I haven't prioritized it. The other reason is that my brain just goes la la la.
There's also nothing worse than a keyword spammy
yes.
description, and
because you can pick them, can't you?
Yeah, and I don't trust them. I think no, something's going on here. I'm gonna get ripped off, or it's not going to be what I think it is, or this is a dodgy Chinese manufacturer replicating something, like
yeah. Having said that, like I do put a lot of effort into hashtagging my work on Instagram, so it probably wouldn't be a bad idea for me to be using some of those hashtags, such as abstract floral, abstract botanical painting, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I could probably fairly easily put that in there, so maybe I'll do that this time.
Yeah, give it a crack, see what happens.
And the other thing I wanted to mention as well, from the point of view of what you said before around prints being a better investment of your time in terms of listings, a lot of what you use in your listing for an original artwork that you might sell once can be then used in a listing for a print, so you're yes. not recreating it, you just tweaking it to suit that product.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all you have things like shipping information and terms and conditions, et cetera, separate to your listing, don't you? Like as an overarching part of your website.
I have a page on my website.
Yeah.
And I link to it in every listing though. So like I have, right. You know, they can click on a link in the listing and go straight to the shipping right. page and see all of the terms and conditions and the prices there. Yeah. And then awesome. All the shipping categories are set up at the back end of the website like they would be on any website. So
okay. Cool. Whew, that was that felt very thorough.
I think we deserve a hot chocolate after talking about spreadsheets and listing stuff. Goodness me. Yes. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. We hope that you've been able to extract some usefulness out of this podcast episode. And yeah, I hope you have a really great day. We'll catch you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You can always see more of my art over at susannethercutt.com. And if you're interested in learning from me or checking out the podcast notes, you can find those over on susannethercuttstudio.com. I love hearing your comments and feedback, so feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you like what you're hearing, then why not snap a screenshot and share it in your Instagram stories? Be sure to tag me at susan.nethercutt so I can say hi. And if you've got a great idea for a future podcast episode or know someone who you think I should interview, then pop on over to susannethercuttstudio.com/podcast, hit the button in the header image to shoot me an email. Catch you next time.